Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to be entertained by the eighth, the young man who has become a legend in his own time.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted. Get it twisted.
All right, what's up, everybody? Back and better than ever. It's Ron Kelly's show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. And we got breaking news, everybody. Breaking news, as I predicted last week, that the healthcare bill is not even going to be put to a vote today. Breaking news. Mitch McConnell, who is the leader of the Republicans, announced today that he will delay a vote on his legislation to repeal the Affordable Care Act, dealing President Trump another embarrassing setback on a key part of his agenda. Republican leaders had hoped to take a page from the playbook used to get the bill over the line in the White House, appeasing the most conservative members of their conference while pressing moderates to fall in line with fewer concessions. You know, this is turning into like a real comedy. Welcome, everybody. We're back in better than ever. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, no longer on the AMFM Broadcasting Network. But we're definitely working on that. Thank you so much for joining me this afternoon. You can go to the Facebook page, Ron Kelly Show, and on Twitter, it's Ron Kelly Radio, where you can follow me. And, man, I tell you, breaking news, just in time for the start of the show. I just hot off the presses that the healthcare bill is dead once again, you know. And see, and I want to tell you what the problem is. We'll talk about that. And also, we're going to talk about, he got a win and he got a loss. The Trump travel ban, parts of the travel ban will be taking effect. And we'll talk about that as well. And also, the family of Philando Castile. We remember Philando Castile, who was murdered by this cowardly police officer, Geronimo Yanez, who was killed last year. Now, the city of St. Anthony has settled with the Castillo family for $3 million. Now, this is a trend down because this is what happens. A cop comes up, he kills an unarmed black person, and then they pay the family. So is this going to be a trend? Is this turning into a trend? We'll talk about that. We'll talk about a whole lot of other things right here on the Ron Kelly Show. Also, former gubernatorial candidate in the state of New Jersey, Monica Brinson, will be calling in a little bit later on to the show, and we'll be hearing from her. And she's a dynamic personality, and we'll be looking to hear what she has to say about this. And we hope that we'll hear from you too. It's 646-668-2838. That's 646-668-2838. You want to hook up with me on the Ron Kelly show. So, yes. Yes. So, thousands of millions of folks who have lost health care, you can all breathe a sigh of relief for the moment, because the 22 million folks who would have lost coverage can rest easy for the moment. But you see, the reason why this isn't being put together they're not thinking about the people with this bill. And this is part of the problem. This bill, this is Republican against Democrat. That's what's happening here. This isn't wrong against right. It's Republicans versus Democrat. And that's why this is why the bill is never going to pass. You know, this is why it's not going to pass. Now, with Trump making these threats, it's just getting more and more ridiculous. Now let's see what they're going to do again. So we started out with the Affordable Care Act. President Obama was passed 7 years ago to bring health care to folks who don't have any, for the people who are poor and those who are too poor to afford health care. That's the spirit of this bill. It was built to help those people who couldn't afford health care. And it did. Now, of course, there were some tweaks and things that should have been done to the healthcare bill. Yes, there should have been some things that should have been done. And there are some things that could be done. But Trump ran on, he ran on this premise that when he came in to office, he would repeal and replace Obamacare. And then he turns around and says he didn't say that. You know, so we got this back and forth. I'll tell you what, here's what, and I love playing this little clip, everybody. You can phone call onto the show, 646-668-2838. I'm going to play in a little while. I'm going to play as soon as I can find it. I need a producer. I'm going to play what Trump said about the health care bill. Now this, while he was candidate Trump, I'm going to play what Trump said about this health care bill. But yes, so everybody can breathe a sigh of relief that the health care bill, the Republican version of the health care bill or the American Health Care Act will not be put to vote. See, the Republicans are so hooked on phonics or hooked on semantics, I should say. And this is why they didn't even try to pass the bill, because they are so, they don't want to be embarrassed. But it's too late. They don't want to be embarrassed, so they didn't want to put the bill to a vote and allow it to fail. Now, of course, a lot of you would say, well, they should do that because they should not put the bill to a vote because what difference would it make if the bill is dead, which is true to a degree. Yeah, but this is the problem now, and this is, I'm just getting such a kick out of this. Now, here's what McConnell, the opposition mounted in both camps, and even against the vote just to take up the bill, McConnell decided he would delay consideration until after the Senate's week-long July 4th recess. So what Rich McConnell said was that we will not be on the bill this week, but we will still be working to get at least 50 people in a comfortable place. See, now this doesn't guarantee that the senators will come together. The opposition groups will mount pressure campaigns on lawmakers in their home states. And policy divisions are extremely deep. And Senator Susan Collins of Colorado says it's hard to see how tinkering is going to satisfy her personal concerns. So the bill is dead. The bill is dead. So thankfully, this healthcare law, this healthcare law is dead. And see, the whole thing is about President Obama. You know, that's what this is really about, President Obama. That's what this is about. Because the healthcare law will be, this is not about the people. And this is why it can't pass, because they're not doing this with the thought of the people in mind. They're doing it to save money. They're doing it. There's a tax cut snuck up, they sneaked in there with a tax cut for the wealthiest Americans. And see, tax cuts, it folded into this bill is tax cuts for the rich. The Congressional Budget Office did say that the Medicare Reconciliation Act would reduce Medicare by $772 billion a year. That's what over the next decade. But by 2026, the Medicaid enrollment will drop by 16% among people under the age of 65. Also, there's some tax cuts put in here for people who are making over $300,000 and or more. There's considerable tax cuts. See, you can't balance the budget on the backs of the people. And this is what the Republicans are trying to do. They're trying to balance the budget on the backs of the people. They're trying to balance the budget by cutting entitlement programs. And, it's like every man for himself type of situation here that they're trying to put forth. And it's just not going to fly. And and thank God for these Republican senators who are voting their conscience and who are not just voting for the bill just because they're voting their consciences and they're trying to make things right here. So we're going to shout out to them and thank them for doing this, because this healthcare law is not a healthcare law. Actually, what they're trying to do is they're trying to erase the memory of President Obama. Why does the healthcare law have to be repealed? Why can't it Why can't we just do something with the Obamacare? Why can't we just make some changes to Obamacare? Why is it so necessary that this bill, that the Obamacare has to be completely repealed and replaced with something else? Why is that so important? You know, I know why, but, you know, I hope you guys out there know why. Why is it so important to replace this bill? Why can't we just fix what's broken, fix what's wrong with Obamacare? Because Obamacare has worked. Yes, there are some issues. Yes, there are some price gouging and some other things that are going on. Some people are falling between the cracks, but we have to fix it. We have to fix it, ladies and gentlemen. So if you haven't heard, the healthcare law will not be brought to a vote today by the United States Senate because they feel like they don't have the support that they need to make this thing happen. So just hot off the presses, breaking news. All right, it's about 13 minutes after the hour. We'll have Monica Brinson. She'll be in a little bit later on. Monica Brinson, who was the gubernatorial candidate for governor of the state of New Jersey. You probably never heard of her. You may have never heard of her. She ran, but, you know, who could run against Phil Murphy, the zillionaire, former Goldman Sachs banker who bought his way into this, who I say bought his way into this this governorship. And see, you can do that. See, when you're rich, you can wake up one day and say, you know what? You know, I worked at Goldman Sachs. I made hundreds of millions of dollars. You know what? I think I want to be governor of New Jersey. Okay. You know, I mean, it doesn't work with all, you know, it doesn't work with all amounts. Some rich folks who try to get in there, you know, just so, you know, are just so detached from the rest of us that they don't win. But for this case, and so in the case of John Corzine, who also was a Goldman Sachs banker who was the governor of New Jersey, who tried to run a second time and lost. Even with the backing of President Obama at the height of his presidency, he still lost. You know, so now we have this guy, Phil Murphy, who I don't have anything against personally, but you know, he bought his way into the governorship. So we'll talk to Monica Brinson, she was a candidate for governor of the state of New Jersey this year. Now we have Phil Murphy, and now we have Kim Guadagno as well. All right, everybody. So we'll talk to her at about half past the hour. I'm sure she'll have a lot to say about this healthcare bill. It's not going to be a healthcare bill after all. But here's what Trump said. I think this is the clip right here. Here's what Trump said about healthcare while he was candidate Trump.
I'm here, 64 days? I never said repeal and replace Obamacare. You've all heard my speeches. I never said repeal it and replace it.
See, that's not the right clip, but this is what Trump said. Inside this clip, you're going to hear where Trump said that he's going to repeal and replace Obamacare the first day, and then you're going to hear him say that he didn't say that. Well, he'll say he didn't say it in the beginning, and then you'll hear him say he'll say he didn't say that, and then you'll hear what he actually did say. Let's hear this right quick.
I'm here, 64 days? I never said repeal and replace Obamacare. You've all heard my speeches. I never said repeal it and replace it within 64 days. I have a long time.
Obamacare is going to be repealed and replaced. Obamacare... We're going to have a strong country again, and Obamacare has to go. We can't afford it. It's no good. You're going to end up with great health care for a fraction of the price, and that's going to take place immediately after we go in, okay? Immediately. Fast. Quick.
And that's what he said. That's what he said on the track campaign trail. And then 64 days into the presidency, when they asked him about Obamacare, he goes, oh, I didn't say that. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. So, yeah, so a lot going on today, everybody. The phone number here, 646-668-2838. You can follow me on Twitter at Ron Kelly Show, Ron Kelly Radio, I should say. And you can go to the Facebook page, Ron Kelly Show as well. Okay, so we'll take a quick break. We'll come right back with more programs, Ron Kelly Show. And it's on Blog Talk Radio. .com.
We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this.
attend your class reunion and don't know where to begin.
Don't let this happen to you. For your next event, wedding, anniversary, class reunion, or just need to promote your business, Burkett Promotions has you covered.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Over 200 custom-made products, USA made, along with personalized imprints and logos.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Burkett Promotions does it all. Big or small, we can fit your budget.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Need your event to stand out with that personalized touch? Pens, pencils, t-shirts? Go to BurkettPromotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Mention the Ron Kelly Show and receive an additional 10% off an already great prize.
Thanks to Burkett Promotions, my event was a success.
BurkettPromotions.com. B-I-R-K-E-T-T Promotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
A business you can trust. A member of the Better Business Bureau, New Jersey. A-plus rating.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf. What about that girl with the hoop earrings?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God. Becky. Becky, are you okay?
My arm. I think it's broken.
Can you bend it?
It's already bent. In the wrong direction.
I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm! It hurts!
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Some statistics are surprising. Some are unbelievable. And some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%. And that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Oh, it's too much downtime. Too much.
Your bathroom break is over. Welcome back. Welcome.
Really?
Now I can do what I planned to do this morning.
To the Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
All right, what's up, everybody? We are back to the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. No longer on the AM FM Broadcast Network. I'll tell you about that another time. But right now, it's Ron Kelly Radio on Twitter, and the Facebook page is Ron Kelly Show. All right, everybody, so you just heard. If you haven't heard already, you just heard that the healthcare law is over, you know, again, once again. And this is like, this is so embarrassing. This is so embarrassing, you know. So here we go. Here we go with Trump. Okay.
For NCAA student athletes, opportunity starts.
Okay, so here we go with the Neil Gorsuch appointment is paying off dividends already. President Trump was quick to applaud the Supreme Court's decision, partially granting the administration's request to allow a travel ban. Now he says it was a clear victory. Now, it's supposed to be a clear victory, but it's not a clear victory. Because the most significant thing about the court's order is not what it does, but what it doesn't do. Now, it doesn't really fully instate travel ban. Only three justices were willing to go that far. But the other six did not. Now, twice as many justices refused to let the ban go forward as written. And remember, this is not the big bad travel ban that Trump really wanted. This is what he called a politically correct watered down version. Now, the court's order on Monday didn't just poke a hole in the revised travel ban. It drove a truck through it. Now, the court is unwilling to let the Trump administration stop someone from coming into the country, even temporarily, if that person has a bona fide relationship with an individual or entity in the United States. So that means that anybody from these six countries can still travel to the United States as long as they can show some legitimate connection to America. Now, that goes far beyond the green card holders and people with existing visas who were grandfathered in under the revised ban signed earlier this year. That's another loss for Trump, and it's a big one. Now, the ruling yesterday also called into question the amount of deference the Trump administration will get on his claim that a president can do pretty much whatever he wants in the area of immigration, which is not true. Now, the court did recognize that a president has power when dealing with the potential entry of people into the United States, but six justices apparently did not see the risk, dire risk for utter devastation that Trump has assured us will happen without the full ban in place. So the justices made it clear that students and those wishing to live with family members should not be affected. And while the required relationship to enter the U.S. has not been fully defined, lawyers and activists who work with immigrants and refugees have told CNN that as they interpret the decision, thousands of people still should be allowed in. You want to do that? Now, so that's very different from the language of any of Trump's travel bans and not at all what he wanted. Okay. So, all right, so the travel ban is not a clear victory. So it's hard to see how, you know, and I'm looking at this right, and it's hard to see how the Supreme Court's decision is a clear victory for the travel ban. You know, it's not a clear victory. It's not a clear victory, and that's only because the travel ban decisions from other courts were such huge losses. So this is it. So, you know, I mean, I have to say that, you know, I do agree with the president that people need to be. I do agree with the president that people need to be. People need to be checked out. I agree with the president on that. People do need to be checked out when it comes to folks coming into this country. They do need to be checked out. I do agree with that because you can't just let anybody come in who you just can't let anybody just walk into the country. You have to, especially coming from some of those countries where, frankly, they do. There are people in these countries who do want to destroy America. So you do have to be somewhat careful when allowing these people in. But to just ban everybody from a country is, I think that's you know, it's a bit extreme. And the Supreme Court thought it was a bit extreme too. And that's why this is why the bill, the travel ban, I should say, wasn't passed. So that's exactly why. So anyway, everybody, it's about 27 minutes past the hour. It's the Ron Kelly Show. It's every Tuesday afternoon, 3 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com, formerly on the AMFM Broadcast Network. Shout out to the folks on from iHeartMedia. They might be listening to the program this afternoon. Shout out to them. Yes, the Ron Kelly Show is ready for prime time. So anybody who's willing to negotiate with us, barter, or whatever the case may be, I'll be willing to sit down and talk with you so we can get this show on the road. Right now, Sarah Huckabee Sanders is doing the Hollywood Shuffle at the podium in the White House briefing room, and she's briefing everybody on the Trump response to what happened. So again, you know, Trump, he see, this is the art of the deal. You know, the art of the deal was the book that Trump, that the president wrote when he was a candidate, a book he wrote back, you know. And you know, and the president was under the impression that he could just come into Washington and just make deals with people. But this isn't, these people, see, you know, when Trump as a private citizen was a very rich man, and of course people are going to bow down and they're going to do whatever you tell them to do. Nobody's going to tell you no. I mean, you're a billionaire, entrepreneur, billionaire, real estate developer in New York, the Trump Tower, or the Trump International Hotel, all the Trump golf courses, all this stuff, a very powerful man. So it's people, when Trump talked, people listen. And when Trump asked somebody to do something, they did it. That's how it was. But now in the president of the United States, and it's not going to be as easy. You know, the Senate is not your board of directors. You know, the Congress people don't work for you. And outside of being president, you don't have the influence that you had as the president of the Trump Organization. So I think that President Trump just thought that maybe he could just come into the country, he could come in as president and just make deals with people, but he's seeing that, you know, it's not happening that way. You know, he made phone calls, and he called people from the senators who said no. You see, he's got to remember, Trump has to remember, see, some of these senators. There were 17 people who ran in the Republican primary last year. 17 people. Many of those people were senators and governors, so they don't forget. You know, they haven't forgotten what Trump said about them. They haven't forgotten. You know, John Kasich, the governor of Ohio, definitely hasn't forgotten. And so Trump made quite a few enemies on his way to the White House, and these people have not forgotten. So, you know, Rand Paul was a presidential candidate last time, and Rand Paul remembers. So it's not going to be so easy. And see, the thought was that Trump would just come in. You got a Republican president. You got a Republican led Congress, you got a Republican led Senate. So everybody thought that Trump would just come in and it would be, you know, a love fest. But it's not happening that way. And Trump is having a hard time. The travel ban, they did support, but the courts did not support. Now, as I said yesterday, the Supreme Court came out with a watered down version, but that's just what it was. It was a watered down version. It's not the hardcore. It's not the hardcore one that Trump, he tried to get in the first place. I'll go to the phones. It's 646-668-2823. Let's go to the phones for a second and see what's going on. Ron Kelly Show.
Hey, Ron Kelly, it's Monica Brinson, former gubernatorial candidate from New Jersey. How are you today?
Hey, Monica, how are you doing? Yeah, I did say that. I told everybody that there was a chance that you might call in. Everybody, Monica Brinson. Did I say that right? Brinson? Did I say that right, Monica?
Brinson. Absolutely,
yeah,
Brinson.
Right. Okay, yeah, Monica Brinson, who's former gubernatorial candidate for the great state of New Jersey, the capital of corruption.
thank you.
And Monica would definitely, had Monica won, she would have tried to do something about it because it's such a shame. You know, I was reading about the last mayor, from City Passaic.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. The doctor, I can't think of his name right now. It'll come to me. Dr. Blanco, Alex Blanco, who was the mayor of City of Passaic, New Jersey, who got caught recently with taking a bribe. Well, actually, he demanded a bribe, $100,000.
Well, that's how you do it in New Jersey. You demand,
Yeah, he demanded a bribe.
That's what's called Jersey style.
Right. And and the funny thing about it is Blanco followed. I think there was nobody in between. I think they had an interim mayor between Blanco, and I believe he followed Sammy Rivera, who also was caught with his hand in a cookie jar and who went to prison, did his time, and got out. Sammy Rivera. So, yeah, it's just that's why I jokingly call New Jersey the capital of corruption, because, you know, with so many people getting caught, former Mayor Barnes or Patterson, who was caught, now current Mayor Joey Torres, whose ship is quickly sinking right now. So he also is probably going to wind up doing some, you know, wearing some stripes at some point, try as he may to stay out of it. But anyway, we have Monica Brinson, everybody, who was a gubernatorial candidate for the governor of the great state of New Jersey. And, you know, and we had Phil Murphy. What it boiled down to after all the smoke cleared was Phil Murphy, who was the Goldman Sachs millionaire investment banker for the Democrats, and Kim Guadagno, who was the lieutenant governor for Governor Christie, who had the lowest governor's approval rating in the history of not just New Jersey, but in the history of America. You know, no governor has ever been less liked than our governor, Chris Christie. So welcome, Monica. How are you today?
Thank you so much. Thank you for that amazing introduction.
Right.
And through it all, through the corruption, you know, I was tearing up when you were speaking about all the people, you know, that are getting caught for putting their hands in the cookie jar, because part of my campaign was about really getting down to corruption in New Jersey. So this is a great thing. This is a great thing that, you know, people are being held accountable. And that's
right.
What has to happen. People need to be held accountable for what they do so that this type of nonsense stops.
Right.
You know, and look, a lot of things that you said were spot on, from Governor Christie's record to Phil Murphy. I'll tell you this, Phil Murphy, I met him on the trip. Wonderful, amazing, nice guy. I like him a lot. But he has no experience for what a governor needs to do. And, you know, he does have experience with spending $20 million buying his way to the, you know, the governor's mansion. We need a governor who's going to make things happen. And we need Kim. We need our lieutenant governor, because albeit we can talk all day about Chris Christie, I really want to move away from that and talk about Kim's track record, which is real. I mean, a working mom, a former prosecutor, she, you know, someone, I'm all about standing up in hostile environments. So, you know, while Chris Christie, she's working in a hostile environment, she's working, stood up for the, you know, and for the, to say no to that awful gas tax, is having it, you know, things audited for that 300 ridiculous spending billion, you know, what do you call the 300 million for the state house. And she's moving New Jersey forward. So that's the kind of governor I support. I'm supporting
right,
Kim.
Yeah, I understand you're supporting Kim Guadagno, but see, Kim sat in the shadow of Christie for, I believe, the 4 years. She did LT for 4 years or 8 years?
This is going on 8, correct.
So she was the original lieutenant governor. Because, you know, sometimes when a governor runs for 2 terms or serves 2 terms, it's not always the same person. They're not always the same LT. Sometimes they switch up in midstream.
I'm new to politics. I'm a change agent, so that's learning too. But yeah, she's been in this role.
Right, but see, she sat in the see, my thing with Kim Guadagno, you know, being devil's advocate here, everybody I'm talking to, Monica Brinson, who was a former gubernatorial candidate for the state of New Jersey. Everybody I'm speaking to, in case you just joined the program just a few minutes ago, it's about 17 minutes, 27 minutes rather, after the hour. So my thing with Kim Guadagno is that she sat in the shadow of Christie, and you never heard her say anything. I mean, at least not publicly. You never heard her say anything. So when Christie was robbing Peter to pay Paul with the pension system in the state of New Jersey, she didn't say anything. You know, when the credit rating for the state of New Jersey was worse than some crackheads, she didn't say anything. So my thing was her with her is that, you know, for all the things that Chrissy was doing, running around kissing up to Trump and wound up empty-handed after right. all his posturing and bluster, trying to support President Trump, he wound up with nothing, zero.
Right.
And she, you know, all the time he spent away campaigning for Trump, I campaigned for himself at first and then for Trump, and she didn't say anything. So let me ask you this, Monica, how does she remove the stink from Christie from her campaign? How does she remove how does she break the connection with Christie? Because, you know, she's going to be connected with Christie because she was lieutenant governor.
I love my family, and we're always going to be connected to that one cousin who doesn't do right. But here's the thing. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the one you put in the closet when anybody comes over. You know, the
right,
cousin you
exactly.
have.
Exactly. So here's the thing. Yeah. You know, I look at it from a business perspective, and, you know, that one boss that you're still doing the best job that you can do, but you're working in a hostile environment. I don't believe she really had time to really speak up. She spoke up by creating jobs, by working hard. I mean, the lieutenant governor has three jobs. As the lieutenant governor, so while Chris Christie was running for president, she is taking care of the state, secretary of state, lieutenant governor, gave her phone number out to half the people in New Jersey, takes the calls. I mean, I don't really know what more else she can do. I'm actually upset that she's working so much, and then I'm going to jump into pay inequality, that she's working three jobs and not getting paid. So I'm going to jump in from a woman's perspective of 80 cents on the dollar. So anyway, all I'm saying is that, you know, I can't speak to where she has spoken up or not, but her track record will talk to where she hasn't opened her mouth. I like to see actions instead of words, and that's what I've seen from our lieutenant governor. And I think that the more the people of New Jersey go to KimForNewJersey.com and really get to know our lieutenant governor, you'll see she fights for not only just Republicans, for Democrats, for independents, for everybody. So that's what you're going to hear from me. I'm speaking loudly about Kim because I know who she is as a person, and she fights for New Jersey. So, you know, I just like people to tune in and not judge her track record by her boss. And that's really all I have to say about that for now.
Yeah, it's hard not to. You know, it's hard not to because
right.
she, like I said,
okay.
she was mum and she played the good soldier, and she didn't say anything about Christie. You know, really, and she still hasn't said much about Christie.
I think it's a great approach. I think it's amazing, and because she continues, if you talk to the people of New Jersey, she's empowered so many people. And, you know, Chris Christie is now about to be, you know, out of the picture. This now is between her, and she will not, I'm quite sure she won't shy away from any questions about Chris Christie. I'm not going to shy away from anything that I can answer. But all I can tell you is that she's making New Jersey better every day, and that's the truth. And
all right, we'll talk.
You know, and
yeah,
you will
okay, we'll
you will
do...
not. Oh, go ahead.
No, I understand what you're saying about her. She still has a lot of work to do, and she you know, and on one hand she has to separate herself from Christie, but on the other hand she can't kick his back in either because that shows.
I think her track record with her work will separate. You'll see that diverge with her work. A lot of people,
okay.
she doesn't, when you're a hard worker, you really don't have to flaunt it. You really don't. The woman works very, very hard. And again, that, you know, I want to bring that to the people in New Jersey.
Okay. Well, she has to have her track record. It can't be hyperbole or, you know, she has to come out and she has to say, well, I did A, B, C, D, and it has to be something that people can see and wrap their arms around. But here's what we'll do. We'll take a quick break, and we'll come right back. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about the healthcare law that was snatched off the table by Senate Leader Mitch McConnell, snatched from the table because they didn't want to be embarrassed that the bill was going to fail anyway, so they just pulled it from the table, and now they're going to wait until after the 4th of July to address it again. So we'll talk about that, and we'll talk about the travel ban as well. We'll come back in just a few minutes, and we'll talk more with Monica Brinson, who's a former gubernatorial candidate for the state of New Jersey. All right, everybody, this is Ron Kelly's show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com.
We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this.
Hi, I'm Amanda Pete. Like all new parents, my husband and I want what's best for our baby. When it was time for our daughter's immunizations, we wanted the facts. So we carefully researched vaccines. We spoke with doctors and other experts and asked some tough questions. We decided that vaccines were the best thing for our child. I urge you to get the facts. Learn the facts about vaccines so you can make the best healthcare decisions for your family. Thank you.
A message from the American Academy of Pediatrics and VaccinateYourBaby.org.
Broadcasting to the world.
Hello.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
Hey, yes.
The news you want.
Is the perception still that a black man with a gun is a criminal?
With the topics you need.
Marching might have been good for back in the day, but what kind of effectiveness is marching have on society today?
Ron Kelly.
Black males 18 to 24 years old have highest homicide offending rate.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted.
All right, everybody, we're back. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, no longer on the AM FM broadcast network. It's a long story, and I probably won't even tell it. But anyway, we're talking with former gubernatorial candidate for the state of New Jersey, Monica Brinson. What part do you ran as a Democrat, Monica? Is that right?
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
That's correct.
All right. All right. So here we go. The health care bill snatched from the jaws of defeat, I should say, by Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. And you know, you just knew. You know, we all knew that the bill was going to fail anyway, Monica. But what were your thoughts about that prior to this announcement that the bill had failed or the bill won't even be voted on by the Republican majority?
You know, it's just frustrating, I guess. And what my feelings were, I didn't see it flying off anywhere. And everybody needs to work together and make things right for the American people. I understand that, you know, Obamacare, there was things needed to be tweaked and done a little bit better, but to just take it and tear it apart to this level is ridiculous. What I would like, you know, is for the millions of people that they're snatching or trying to snatch health care away from, I'd like, the Senate, the president, to everyone to have that coverage or non-coverage for a little while and see how they feel about it as a little tester. It's not fun. It won't be fun. It's not right. Let's do right by the people. Come up with something for the people and you know, let's not make one thing political. Let's make it for the people. That's what I feel.
Right, because, you know, we all know. And see, this is what I was saying earlier about this health care bill. And the other other scathing thing about this was there's a tax cut in there for the wealthiest people in America. And I just, what the hell does a health care, what the hell does a tax cut have to do with health care? This has been the Trump mantra, I should say, before he became into office. Let's cut the taxes for my friends. It's the same old tired trickle down economics trick that Reagan tried back in the 80s. That just didn't work, Monica. It just doesn't work. They feel like if you put more money into the pockets of the wealthiest people, that they'll hire more. Why would I hire more people if I'm getting along with 500? But I used to have 750. Now I only got 500 people, and I'm getting along with those 500 people. Why would I go out and hire more people? Why wouldn't I just keep the profit? You know what I'm saying?
You make a strong point. You make a strong point. All I can say is this: I can speak from real stories. When you know I lived in Fort Lee, New Jersey, and that's a whole nother corrupt story. But anyway, I want to talk about healthcare. And I'm, you know, there was a woman who lived in my building who walked up to me and said, you know what, Monica, you know, unfortunately she's since passed away, but she goes, I am alive today. She had cancer because of Obamacare. You know, those are the things that the Senate, the president, they need to speak and understand, speak to real people that this is really, truly affecting. These are affecting lives. This isn't just about politics. This is about, you know, the same people who are voting no. This is their friends, their families. You never know when you're going to fall on hard times. Do you know what I mean? You never know. You can't just look at people as a business transaction. Senate, the government, supposed to work for the people.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Well, here's the thing. Let's see if I can get this to come up. Here's the thing. This is from the Daily Wire, everybody. I'm talking to Monica Brinson, former gubernatorial candidate for the state of New Jersey, and this is the Ron Kelly Show. You can follow me on Twitter. It's Ron Kelly Radio, and on Facebook, it's the Ron Kelly Show. Okay. Now, this comes from the Daily Wire. The 11 biggest problems of Obamacare. Now, one, premiums skyrocket. That's the problem. Obamacare premiums. Are getting higher. That's one of the problems.
Right. Yes.
And the second problem is the deductibles are increasing. Some states only have one insurer. See, so the whole big problem. So the whole problem is that. So what I'm saying is, okay, we know we have problems with Obamacare. Why can't we just fix the problems? Why is it so?
Right.
Why do you
think it's so important? I'm agreeing with that.
Right. So why do you think it's so important that the GOP just repeals the bill completely and starts new? What do you think that the agenda is with that?
I can only speculate and say that maybe there are certain people who just want their name on it. Like, I don't know. I really can't say why they would want to rip this away. I mean, just tweak it and make it right. Look, I had Obamacare, and it worked for a while, and those deductibles, that stuff is real. It went up. Copays went up. So, you know, find out what's broken and fix it. I don't believe we need to go back to the complete drawing board, but, you know, find out what's wrong and fix it. But there's a possibility that it's about putting your stamp on it. I don't know. Again, it goes back to just doing right by the people.
Okay, what about the part, and this is the part that I had, the co-ops. There was 23 co-ops created under Obamacare, and 15 of them have gone under already as a result of the Obamacare Risk Adjustment Program that compelled insurers with healthy customers to redistribute, God, I couldn't even say that, well, towards the sicker customers, and that's $1.5 billion in taxpayer dollars down the drain. So, there are some things about Obamacare that are bad. There's higher wait times in emergency rooms.
Yeah,
higher wait times in emergency rooms, shortage of primary doctors. And there are some Americans who don't have insurance because of Obamacare. The debt, you know, the death panel is still there where they make decisions about people. So, you know, there's still a lot of issues with Obamacare that need to be fixed. And I'll tell you, it seems to me, Monica, it's more about erasing Obama legacy than anything else. It's not even about the people anymore. Do you agree with that?
I do agree with that. I do. And again, I bring it back to, and I also agree with there, it definitely had to, a lot had to be done to fix Obamacare. But I'm grateful we had it. We had something. You know, within that time when it was created and I fell on hard times, I wouldn't have had anything at all. So I had something. But from there, let's work together and build on that and, you know, and fix the parts of it and not leave anybody out. Everybody deserves to be as healthy as they can. I don't think that, you know, it should be just decided on how sick you are to have insurance. That's a problem for me. That's a problem
right.
for me.
So with Social Security, I mean, because we had a problem with the Social Security was first proposed back in the 50s or 40s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a problem. There were problems. Same with Medicare when it was first proposed back in the day before either one of us were born. There were problems. You know, but Social Security is still here and Medicaid and Medicare is still here. So I don't understand why we can't just fix Obamacare and make it right. Now, another
I think that people... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to...
Go ahead. Finish your thought. No, please.
Well, I think that, you know, again, I think that people need to call their local senators, call the president, and just start... We need to all... Our voice needs to be heard. Our voice needs to be heard. This is why I ran for governor. This is why, you know, I'll continue to stay in politics so that my voice is heard. You know, first of all, I just want to take a minute to say thank you, Ron. I appreciate all that you do and for being a voice for so many people. But we all need to stand up and have our voice heard. But I do want to thank you for also inviting me into being a voice.
Well, thank you for that. You know, let me ask you this, Monica. Now,
yeah.
Kim Guadagno, the person you're backing for the governor's, maybe we can get her on the programs. We had Barbara, the last person to get whipped by Governor Christie. We did have Barbara, Barbara Bono. I did have her. She was a guest on Ron Kelly's show, Barbara Bono. So maybe we can have Kim Guadagno on the show. But anyway,
I think it would be phenomenal to have Kim on the show. I'm definitely going to let her know. I hope she's listening right now. And to answer your question, she will stand up to every one of these questions. And, you know, and she's the one who can really answer it from her perspective because she's Kim. I'm just telling you from my perspective, but, you know, you need to hear from her. I think it would be a great idea.
We would love to have her, and the 70,000 or so folks who are listening to the Ron Kelly Show right now would love to hear.
Okay.
Many in the state of New Jersey and all across the country, actually, many would love to hear her, what she has to say. Now, Kim, I promised my listeners I would speak about Philando Castile. And the city of St. Anthony, Minnesota, has settled with the Castile family for $3 million. The city of Ferguson, Missouri, has settled with the Brown family. New York settled with, you know, it's got settlement after settlement after settlement going on.
Yeah.
It seems to be a trend now. It seems to be a trend now that, you know, a police officer with an itchy trigger finger kills my family member. And before we even go to court, they're just coming out and settling. They settled with, you know, the settlements are, you know, the beat is just going on with these settlements. Now, I wonder what, I'm curious to know what Ms. Guadagno, as a former sheriff, I'm curious to what Ms. Guadagno would have to say about all of this, about, although it doesn't happen in New Jersey that often, but I'm curious as to what she would have to say about black folks being killed by police officers, unarmed black men, specifically, who are being killed by police officers. I'm curious to know what she would have, what her take would be on that. Because, you know, what's happened, Monica,
I don't think she's going to be happy about it. I don't know. She will definitely give you her perspective.
Right. But what happens is the police officers, when things like this happen, police officers, and I know lots of good police officers who are out here doing the right thing and who are protecting and serving within the boundaries of the law. But I know many of them, when these things come out on Facebook and Twitter, whatever, they don't say anything at all. So I'm wondering if Ms. Guadagno would be willing to say something about this scourge, that's happening.
I think she would be happy to talk about social justice. So any question that you have, I would, I'm looking forward to hearing her on the show. And again, I just want to say that she's a really, a working mom, a former prosecutor, a job creator. KimForNewJersey.com.
Okay, what would you say to all of this? Let's say, Monica Brinson becomes the governor of the state of New Jersey, and would there be a directive? I mean, would there be something coming out of the Monica Brinson governor's office that would address some of these issues between the community, the police and the communities that they are supposed to be serving? What would Monica have to say?
Of course there would. Under the Brinson administration, first and foremost, we have so many, I support the police officers. There's so many amazing police officers that put their lives on the line every day, but I don't shy away from social justice. And in those situations where that does happen, people need to be held accountable. And I think it's really important for each precinct, each officer, to make sure that they're trained properly and trained again and again and again. I've never had a job where I didn't have continuous training. And I really can't speak to you know, why they're settling. But, possibly, I know if I were in the shoes of as a family member, it at least you're not reliving it over and over and over and over again. Do you know what I mean? I would like it to just stop altogether. But I would want there to be, you know, justice served. And that's really all I can say to that. It's awful. It's disgusting. I'm not here to, you know, cause a race riot or whatever. But, you know, I mean, it's real. And we need social justice for our black. We do. And for every man who's in a situation where you're pulling out a piece of gun and you get shot. You know what I mean? That's what I'd say to that. I hope I answered your question. If not, come back to me. But, you know, it's upsetting.
Yeah, I just wanted to know what your thoughts were. I wasn't necessarily looking.
It's very upsetting. And every time, you know, when I'm all about social justice, I'm all about Black Lives Matter. I believe that all lives matter. I think that, you know, this is just something that we all need to take a step back and just really see what's going on. This has been going on for many, many years. And I think we're finally just taking a look at this because we don't have a choice with social media,
right,
with our cameras being able to take pictures of this
right,
stuff.
Right.
You know, these not body cameras are really important.
Right. And
you
not
know?
Only that,
I mean,
the frequency of the events is another thing that's very disturbing. And, you know, and even with body cameras, got about a minute and a half left to the program, Monica. But even with body cameras,
okay,
sometimes even with video, the officer is still acquitted because the jury is stacked with people who are associated with police officers or who have police officers in their families, and it's an automatic acquittal. But we got a couple
then,
of minutes.
Ron, we need to get back down to corruption then, and that goes right back down to it. And that's why I'm happy to see it's all about, we started out the show with accountability, and that's why when you started, you know, the corruption being the capital of the state, yeah, that's a little true around here, a lot true. I was, you know, like, we need to get down to the root cause of these issues.
The root cause goes far beyond training. Just because you graduate from the police academy does not mean that you're prepared to be an officer. Anyway, we got about 40 seconds.
Correct.
Monica, thank you. Thank you so much. Hope to have you back
welcome.
Very soon. We'll talk about it and we'll put it together. You're a dynamic personality.
Thank
and
you.
I would love to have you join me here on the program. And, you know, two heads are better than one. So let's get together sometime during this show and next show, and we'll talk about it and get it together.
I would appreciate it. I love it, Ron. Great show.
Okay.
Great show, Ron. You're a great guy.
All right. Great. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. This was former New Jersey gubernatorial candidate Monica Brinson joining me here on the Ron Kelly Show. All right, you got about 10 seconds left, everybody. Thank you, Monica, and we'll see you back here very, very soon. Everybody else take care of yourself. Remember, thank you, Monica, and everybody else.
God
just
bless
be
you.
Thank you. You too.
Okay.